Chris, how you doing, sir?
Bill, doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing good. Everybody wants your thoughts on the game Saturday, a few days ago, LSU winning at Alabama, and how impressed you were with LSU.
Well, very impressed. You know, LSU's offense was, again, you know, in tune, finely tuned. Alabama couldn't stop them, say, for a few plays here or there. It was a great performance by Joe Burrow. You know, made plays with his feet. Obviously did a great job manipulating Alabama's coverages. Alabama didn't play very well at all, and defensively they were exposed. Tackled poorly. Couldn't get any significant pass rush for any sustained period. You know, it was a really, as we kind of thought, it was going to be a game in which the offenses were going to have an advantage. And LSU was, you know, a little, not completely clean, but much better than Alabama. Alabama had more mistakes, more drop balls. It looks like they pressed a little bit more. And that was the difference. I mean, you know, Alabama left plays on the field. You know, Tua was not his complete self because his ability to extend plays or run when maybe there was an opportunity there. I thought there was potentially a touchdown run he could have had in the red zone that he didn't take, obviously, because of his feet. So that, to me, was the difference in the game. Alabama left plays on the field. LSU had a couple of key mistakes defensively that gave up some cheap scores to Alabama. So, look, it wasn't like it was the best played game in terms of there were mistakes. And I would say that both defenses looked very vulnerable, all things considered, but really exciting. You know, it was exciting. I thought early on that Alabama was marched down the field, and I said, here we go. It's going to be, you know, an offensive game, and it was. But you never got the feeling I did that LSU was really threatened. I mean, right. The best Alabama could do was get it into one possession, and LSU would take it to two possession game. So when I studied the tape, it looked like more than a 46-41 victory.
The running back from Baton Rouge Catholic, Clyde mm-hmm. Edwards-Helaire, was a three-star. They listed him at 5'8", 215. Now, I know he's not the best prospect on the field, but I thought he was probably as important as anybody in that ballgame.
No doubt about it. I mean, you know, Burrow makes it all go. But,
right.
You know, Helaire is just – you know, the thing about it, the kid is – and it just goes to show you that the kid has worked so hard to get his lower body strong. He is strong in the lower body.
Right.
And if you want to see the explosion, just how about the touchdown, you know, the leap? You see the spring in his legs. That's why he has, A, the ability to juke people and be able to cut, put his foot in the ground and cut in reverse directions. But he's built so low. He's got that leverage with that strength that when he makes contact, he's so tough to get down because you got to get lower than him. It's a leverage game, as you well know, and it's just really hard to get leverage. And, man, it was that last run to basically kind of put the game away. It just was, although Alabama came back and scored again, got it into one possession. That was just kind of a big boy run there that said, wow, can you believe they're doing this against Alabama? Alabama's tackling was as poor as I've seen in years, quite frankly.
I think Nick said, and I saw this on Twitter, so obviously it's got to be the gospel, right? But something along the lines of Nick said in a press conference, looking at the tape, they had 25 missed tackles.
I charted a couple of dozen missed tackles, yes. I did. I charted that. In fact, you know, there was – when you look at that play alone, we're just talking about, there were five on that play. I mean, it's just on him. I mean, he made, in terms of making people miss and then missing a tackle, it was not a very good day defensively for Alabama. And here's the thing, better teams can expose you. And the concern is you look at how they struggled against Clemson, how they struggled against LSU. defensively, they've been exposed. They're not the same. They're just not the same defensively. You could see that the talent level, you know, the times in the past where they've been able to replace a great player with another great player, it hadn't quite been as seamless a transition. You know, everybody thinks, well, automatically, you know, you follow recruiting well, so you know most people determine recruiting by reading some list that says, well, they're ranked one or they're ranked five. But if you look at how guys leave or don't stay in the program, or guys who don't develop, they don't have the same caliber of player to replace the guys that they've lost. And, you know, that's been the big difference. We know they've had a lot of injuries, but the quality of the player is not as good as it has been. It doesn't mean that it can't be fixed in further recruiting efforts, but that is the reason why they're not as good. And they're so, I think, too, that their emphasis, and I've said this for 2 years, their emphasis on throwing the football makes sense with their receivers and what they want to do in the modern game. But there is no question that it's had a negative effect on their physicality as a team. When you practice that way, then you're not as physical, and you can't handle teams that can be as physical and can match up. But their ability to match up in the secondary, which I thought would be very effective this year, it has been exposed a little bit against certain teams. Now, not in the games that they've played thus far this year, but against a really good offense of LSU, they had problems. I mean, defensively, there just wasn't a whole lot of answers that they had Saturday.
I also saw, and I remember, actually, was I listening? I know I saw it on Twitter. Either way, I remember thinking, I got to ask Chris this. It was a scout. Maybe it was Daniel Jeremiah. I don't remember. But he said in his years of scouting, covering, this receiving core, and I'm talking about college football in general, going into the draft, is the best core that he can recall. Do you agree with that?
Well, it's certainly the receiving cores of recent years, it's getting better and better because there are more of them, they're more quality. It's really good. I'd have to go back. I've always felt like it is. I think it depends on how many of them come out. But Alabama's alone is good. The kid from Colorado, Laviska Shenault, has not been healthy this year, but when he is, he's good. You've got CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Reagor of TCU, you know, Higgins of Clemson, you know, if they come out. But then you throw in a guy like Brian Edwards of South Carolina or Colin Johnson of Tennessee, Tyler Johnson of Minnesota. You know, it's a great group. There's no question about it. It's an outstanding group that's deep. It has a lot of quality. And depending upon how many of those juniors come out, we could have a few of them, quite a few in the first round.
Noel Kev says, ask Chris, besides the coordinators, offense, defensive coordinator, what's the third most important position a new head coach could hire?
Well, the most important position that the guy needs to hire when he gets a head coach is a strength coach. That is the most important hire that has to get right. If you don't, that is a whole program issue. But I understand the question. So the on-the-field coaches, because they're dealing with in college – with them all year round. So it's really important. And then the most important position coach is your offensive line coach. That is the most important behind the coordinators and then the secondary coach. But in that order, the offensive line coach is the most important.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, he basically is the head coach when the head coach isn't in charge, right? Kind of.
Oh, the strength coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, no question about it. Yeah, that's why it's so important, in particularly in college. It's the development of players and dealing with the physical skill set and development of that end of it is so important. Attitude, all those things it's really important in college because of the limitations the position coaches have in contact with those players. So that's really the most important. And then the on-the-field coaches, you know, again, it's the offensive line coach is the most important position coach after the coordinator hires.
One more before the break. Danny in New York City. Ask Chris if he thinks Steve Sarkisian has paid his penance. He says you don't hear his name much with any of these head coaching opportunities.
Well, I mean, we all know Steve has had some issues that he's dealt and he's apparently doing great. I don't know that it's a penance issue. Look, I mean, it's different being a coordinator. He's a really good coordinator. What you got to ask is, are you comfortable with him as a head coach? Do you feel that extra stress and pressure would potentially cause problems? No, I think that, you know, it doesn't rule it out. But, no, his name's not usually mentioned. And it's usually the case when a guy has not had success or has had some problems, he usually has a hard time getting back. I think he's done a good job, and I think somebody would consider him. But, you know, that's still a risk. It's a personal risk that you've got to go through in your evaluation process. And that's sometimes difficult to kind of know that part of it, you know, internally as to how is he doing. Because managing that, you know, alcoholism is something that not everybody is familiar with. I certainly wouldn't know how to really gauge whether somebody is through that or not, other than just word of mouth.
Chris, you got a couple minutes on the other side?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, more Chris Landry, and we'll let you know how you can get all his information after the break. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Body clock is set to college football and nothing else. It's Bill King.
You're listening to The Bill King Show, the only college football radio show proven to make you smarter.
Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. Chris, your thoughts on the Auburn-Georgia matchup?
Well, I see it as kind of an opposite game of last week, in that it's going to be really dictated by the defenses. These are the two best defenses in the conference. I think the difference is, to me, going into it, Georgia's running game is better. Their offensive line is better. And their quarterback plays better. And they're starting to get more productivity due to health from the receiving corps. So they've got, I think, some ability to make plays in the passing game. You know, Auburn's at home. We've seen them in previous years have big-time moments, and this defense keeps them in every game. So I give them a shot. I do. And Georgia will have to play well, really well. And I don't think that they're the type of team that's going to blow people out unless you make mistakes or give them short fields for the offense. But I think it'll be a really good game, but physical game, defensive-oriented game. But I do favor Georgia in those areas.
Chris, also, a lot of talk about Michigan State, Michigan coming up. Michigan State is looks to be falling to pieces. A lot of talk about D'Antonio playing out his last few games as the head coach there. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I've mentioned it on the website and in some podcasts that several weeks ago that I'd be very surprised if he's back. It's been a very, very tough year. You know, he's got some issues coming up in January where he's going to have to testify. I think last year's moves on the whole Michigan State, you know, off the field issues, which is going to be a distraction and probably create more publicity if he's still the head coach. Coupled with the fact that he was kind of getting close to finishing out his career last offseason. As you know, he's very, very loyal with his assistants. His way to change and fix the offense was to shuffle around the staff and not get rid of anybody. Now there's just obviously a pressure of they've not made the progress offensively. And then last week was just, man, it's one of the biggest comebacks or collapses out of Michigan State. Great comeback for Illinois. And they just made mistake after mistake. They just don't look like a Mark D'Antonio coach team. And the way he's handled things, you know, he's not one that likes to deal with the questions about off the field or his future or things. It just really smells to me like that he's going to step aside. Don't know that, haven't been told that, but my sense is that that's going to be the case.
Thoughts on Baylor, Oklahoma?
I think Oklahoma's quite a bit better, but, you know, Oklahoma's defensively really struggling. What I like about Baylor when I watch him, first of all, there's nothing that stands out about Baylor other than the fact that they're well-coached. They do things fundamentally well. That's why they're unbeaten. It's most people in the Big 12 kind of shoot themselves in the foot. They're up and down. This team is very, very consistent. Oklahoma even. Very explosive on offense, blew a big lead against Iowa State, had to hold on. We know about their loss to Kansas State. But, you know, I think that Oklahoma's only chance, and I don't think they really have a playoff chance. They're going to need collapse by people in front of them. But from their standpoint, they need to really make a statement and win big. I thought they'd win big decisively last week. I have a feeling they'll do it this week, but, you know, if they don't play better defense, Baylor will keep it close and have a chance.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get all of your information.
At LandryFootball.com, everything could be found right there. All the podcasts, we break down every conference by conference, a conference podcast for each and every conference, a pro football podcast, a college football podcast nationally, and, of course, all our film breakdowns, part of our membership packages, very affordable. It's $9.99 a month if you want to try it that way. If you want to get the 50% discount, try it for a year, it's $4.99 a month. So it's a great opportunity to kind of get a unique insight into the game, breaking down games going into it, reviewing the games after they're played, college, NFL, all the inside information, all the inside details, this coaching search work that's going on at Arkansas, at Florida State, or any place else that's going to come about. It's a great resource to use if you're a football fan. As we like to say, if you like football, you'll love LandryFootball.com. So we'd love to have you join our family.
Good stuff, Chris. See you next week, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
There you go. Chris Landry.